with the spirit of Antichrist, but I think we're going to take it in a real positive direction this morning, because you know what, even though these things must come to pass, there's a difference in the way the Christian views all of these things as opposed to the way the world is viewing these things. And in Matthew chapter 24, if you look in verse number 36, Matthew 24, verse 36, the Bible says this, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this series, Lord, and yes, we need to take the Bible, and Lord, we need to make sure that the Christians are aware, Lord, our church is aware of what's happening. They can understand not just the headlines, but the Bible prophecy that's being fulfilled, Lord, from the events that are happening. So, Lord, as we take a look, dear God, at this wonderful, wonderful event that, Lord, is going to get us out of here. In the middle of all of this, I pray that you'll encourage our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying on the spirit of Antichrist for some time, and I'm going to kind of wrap that up. Spirit of Antichrist is actually a several spirits that are producing what I believe is the spirit of Antichrist. Say, preacher, what is that? Define it for us. Well, the spirit of Antichrist is simply the devil working in our society and our culture in such a way through events, and I think a lot of times through leadership, in such a way that would prepare the world to be willing to accept the coming of the Antichrist. And certainly one of the things that spurred this lesson on was the events that has happened in the last couple of years, year and a half in particular, that we've seen so many things that before we might open the Bible and say, well, how in the world is the Antichrist going to get people to do this? You know, Americans are so independent. They'd never accept this. They'd never do this. And then all of a sudden, we saw some things happen that caused us to go, well, wait a minute. I can see where this could happen now. But there's several spirits that's preparing us for the revealing of the Antichrist, for the world to have him revealed. Spirit of selfishness, we talked about that. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. Spent quite a bit of time on that. Be careful of that sin sneaking into your life. Very important, folks, think about this. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And he said the second is likened to it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's different than the prominent sin of the last days. The prominent sin of the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. Now think of that. That means they have to live in direct defiance and disobedience to the first great commandment. They have to live in defiance of the second great commandment. Basically, they're elevating self above God and self above others. And the spirit of selfishness certainly is, I think, taking a firm hold in America. Number two, spirit of compromise. We begin to talk about that, how this would be evident, one of the things we see evident in the Church of Jesus Christ. We spent a couple, 3 weeks on the spirit of uncleanness, and we could continue on that. I think we did enough on that, but folks, listen, there is a level of perversion that has, I mean, the kind of things that people would have been ashamed of. I mean, ashamed to even admit to or mention just a handful of years ago. And now they're marching in the streets, bragging about it, the spirit of uncleanness. And then the spirit of fear, we certainly are seeing this. Fear is a powerful thing. The Lord knew this, so he warned us about it. He said, don't be controlled by that spirit of fear. But when you get people scared, it's amazing the things that they'll be willing to do. And last week we talked about the spirit of slumber and really blew the trumpet, warned the church, be careful. One of the things that's going to allow the Antichrist to continue to take hold and the spirit of Antichrist to take hold so that one of these days he can be introduced is the fact that good people stand idly by. When does evil triumph? When good people stand idly by. And we're not just standing idly by, I'm afraid. The pulpits have fallen asleep. And because of that, it's had an effect on the people that are going to church. The trumpet's not sounding. And so anyway, we talked about that. Some other spirits. Let me just mention these because I want to get into what I want to get into today. I think that we see in the Bible that we're warned against the spirit of confusion. And I want to just tell you that I don't know about you, but I certainly felt that in the last 18 months. You know, this, we say, well, preacher, this is the internet age. This is the information age. And boy, I'll tell you what, if you want to find out something, you have access to information you never had before. But the problem is with that, I think, enabled the devil, the Antichrist, to create this spirit of confusion. Because, yeah, we've got information overload. And the problem is just trying to get to the bottom of almost anything. You go to research, you say, well, I just need to figure this out. I just need to find out what the facts are. But the problem is, since anybody, I mean, if you've got a computer, you can post something. And you really have to use, now let's, here's the Bible word. You really have to use discernment as a Christian. And I think we got to be careful. You preach, I read this on the internet, or I read this. Well, you better start sourcing things. So one of the things I had to start cautioning our people about that kept coming up to me during the election time and before the election time was, I'm reading this and I'm reading that. And I'm like, where's that coming from? Where's the source of that? Be careful that you're not, listen, again, I mean, you got a computer, you can post something. And sometimes when there was so much misinformation along mixed in with information that it creates this spirit of confusion. How many times have you said to yourself in the last couple of years, I don't know what to think about this. I don't even know what to believe about this. You know, I turn this channel and I hear this, turn this channel and I hear the exact opposite. You know, you go to the news sources and there's many different voices, many different opinions. And I think right now, folks, what we need to do as Christians is really make sure that before we just take off with some piece of information, we better, first of all, make sure that it's accurate and source it out, prove it out, and be careful about just believing anything. But I do think that the devil's created this spirit of confusion where people after a while just kind of shrug their shoulders because they don't know what to believe. Well, I don't even know what to believe anymore. You know, come on, I don't know what to believe about COVID. I don't know what to believe about face mask. I don't know what to believe about the vaccine. I don't know what to believe about the election. I don't know what to believe about. And you can just keep adding things on because it's like they've created this whirlwind of confusion. You know, we used to say, well, let's just get to the facts. What are the facts of the matter? You know, that still works. But the problem is the list of facts keep changing depending on where you go try to look up the facts. And so, I think this spirit of confusion. Be careful also because it's not just in our country, but be very careful because I think even in churches, there's a spirit of confusion. One of the things, I'm going to take time to go there, but one of the things we're warned about that, God is not the author of confusion. The chapter we find that in is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And folks, Paul is trying to fix in the church of Corinth a false doctrine that had been taught and had begun to be practiced and was causing confusion amongst not only the congregation, but lost people that were walking in were confused. And remember this, false doctrine creates confusion. Every once in a while, you've heard your pastor a couple times just recently going, hey, some of our fundamental brothers, some of our good brothers are getting caught up in this, they're getting caught up in that. And it seems like the more we get to the last days, again, there's almost a cloud of confusion. I mean, come on, for years, I never heard anything in my life except that, you know, the next thing on God's divine calendar is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. All of a sudden, in the last 4 or 5 years, there's a big swirling confusion concerning mid-trib, and I mean, I'm not talking about, there's always been some of this out there, but all of a sudden it's in fundamental churches and post-trib and no rapture. And it's like, again, be careful. Some of that is just so much misinformation. I want to say this, folks, listen to me. I would be very careful of allowing internet preachers to pastor you. Okay? I don't mind you listening to other men. I don't mind you listening to other sermons. But I think you've got to be careful who you decide you're going to fall in love with, because there's a lot of men out there that sound like they're us 90%, but then they are off the wall and twisting some things. Just be careful. I heard a man say this. Listen, God didn't create the internet and tell Christians, you go to the internet, let the internet pastor you. He created a local New Testament church. And you know, this is where we go to study the Bible, to read the Bible, to figure it out. And I think there's too many people. I mean, I've had preachers calling me that says, I have this family visiting my church. First thing they had to let me know is they're a big fan of this guy on the internet or this guy on the internet. And they're quizzing me about what I'm teaching. And it's just like, well, then set it home and be an internet congregation, I guess. But we're letting men that they don't even know these people. They don't know their manner of life. They don't know their motives. They don't know. What are they doing? Hey, walk in a church and sit down, find a good Bible preaching church that the Lord has led you to. Sit there, open your Bible, and be fed the way the Bible has constructed the church, because it just allows too many swirling voices of confusion. Again, I bring a lot of different voices into this pulpit. I mean, I think if anybody is generous with their pulpit, I'm generous with my pulpit. I allow a lot of good men. I'm not saying just listen to me, but I'm very careful about who I bring in here. And we all ought to be preaching out of the same Bible. We ought to be blowing the same trumpet. We ought to be teaching the same doctrines. Because if not, you're creating a spirit of confusion in the church. And I see more and more of that. And I covered this last Wednesday night when we're teaching through the book of Mark. But with the spirit of Antichrist, going to be a spirit of betrayal. And those of you that were here when we studied that out, Jesus is having that Olivet discourse. And, you know, he walks into the temple and the disciples are talking about the wonder of this structure, this beautiful temple. And he says, yeah, it's nice. Not one stone's going to be left on another. And then he sets up on the Mount Olivet and they begin to ask him, what are the signs of this coming judgment? And we went through that. And one of the things we learned was this: in the last days, during the time before the coming of Christ, there's going to be more and more people turning on each other, betraying each other, to the point where the Bible says the children will turn in their fathers and their mothers, their parents, and cause them to be killed. Fathers turning in children. We're talking about blood, folks. We're talking about the closest ties you can have in life. And people betraying each other. And again, be careful what you're being preconditioned in this plandemic that we've had. And the 800 numbers. And I mean, there were liberal commentators on TV during the lockdown that was literally saying this: me and my husband get in our car and drive around neighborhoods in our neighborhood. And if there's too many cars in a driveway, we're calling the authorities. I mean, when you get to the point where Americans think that they have a right to monitor the movements and behavior of other Americans, you better read about Nazi Germany. You better understand what we're being set up for. Okay, I mean, Hitler never did have enough soldiers. He never had enough actual people, you know, to enforce the things he was doing. So what he did was he empowered civilians and made them feel like it was the patriotic thing to do. I mean, look right up here. Don't walk up to another private citizen and tell them what they should or shouldn't be doing. Excuse me, that's none of your business. And somebody else is not going to walk up and tell me what to do. I mean, they might, but they're not going to enjoy that encounter. And I think we really need to push back on this nonsense that we've got a bunch of little Gestapo agents that think they have a right to walk up to me in a store and tell me what I should be doing or what I shouldn't be doing. I mean, you know, I think that needs to be shut down quick. They need to be put in their place quick. This is America. Okay, we still have freedom, we still have choices, and you know what? If you want to do something, do it. But don't come police me. None of your business. Okay, and I think we really got to empower people to do that. I guess that's what I'm trying to do here. Spirit of betrayal. Then the spirit of rebellion. The Bible talks about rebellion being as a sin of witchcraft. Why wouldn't that be? And we're watching that. It's not just a rebellion. We think about rebellion. Sometimes we think about kids rebelling against their parents. Well, we put up with that for, you know, since the 1960s. Dr. Spock wrote a book, Re-educating Parents, How to, not Spock, that Spock, another Spock, you know, not the Star Trek Spock, okay. Dr. Spock, some of the younger ones don't even know who Dr. Spock is, but he wrote a book teaching a whole generation a better way to raise children. And you know what? In those pages, a lot of the principles were opposite of the principles that you find in the Bible. Well, guess what? We ended up with a bunch of hippies. We ended up with an attitude in the 1960s and 70s. We ended up with a bunch of them turning their back on their fathers and their grandfathers and their advice. More and more you begin to hear this stuff. You know, don't trust anybody over 30. You can't believe anybody over 30. Well, what? What's that? And so, yeah, that's part of it. But can I say now all of a sudden you're watching this rebellion against authority, not just in the home, but come on, you've watched the same things I have. We're talking and training young people. It's the right thing to do to defy officers of the law, to not listen to those in authority. This thing's just turned into pandemonium. And so anyway, what is all that about, preacher? What is all that about? It's creating a spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want to be positive today, because boy, we've done a lot of that. You know, here's another spirit that I think we ought to mention. Along with all these negative things, can I mention this spirit? With the spirit of Antichrist, as it permeates across our country, there ought to also be a spirit of excitement amongst born-again believers. Why? Because we have the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have prophecies concerning the second coming and the things that would happen. Now, nobody knows the day or the hour, but you know what? We can understand the signs of the time. And in this portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then it goes on to say, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's easy to look up here and say, wait a minute, preacher. What's wrong with eating and drinking? What's wrong with marrying and giving in marriage? What the Bible is teaching here is that there is just a going about life, everyday life, with no thought of God. No thought of right, no thought of wrong, no thought of the ignoring the preaching of Noah. We know that he preached righteousness for 120 years. But you know what? People just ignored all the signs around them, ignored the sins, went about their life. Well, it doesn't affect me. Well, it doesn't affect me. Well, when the rain started falling, it started affecting them. If you'll go back real quickly, mark your place there, and let's go to Genesis chapter 6. I'd like to read a little bit more about as the days of Noah were, because it's not just what is listed there. It is the wickedness and the amount of evil that existed during the time right before the flood. Genesis chapter 6, you can see in verse number 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. Now, chapter number 5, remember, folks, context is always your friend. Chapter number 5, we got the lineage of Seth. In chapter number 4, we were given the lineage of Cain. Cain went from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse number 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden. So you see that when Cain broke away from God, he also wanted to distance himself from his godly parents. And so he went and started a new society, civilization, that's described in Genesis 4. But you know what? God replaced Abel with another son. God blessed Adam and Eve with a boy named Seth. And we see in chapter 6 on down through the end of the chapter, the lineage of Seth. So we have two civilizations that are separated. One is being raised and taught the ways of the Lord. The other one has left the presence of the Lord. Well, the problem is they begin to multiply upon the earth to the point where these two civilizations begin to have interaction. Preacher, why do you take the time to do this? Because the very things that hastened the judgment that God had to send upon this earth, and as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we have Christian young people more and more and more. By the way, thank God for you ones that have done it right. The single ones in here that are planning on doing it right. But I'm telling you, the way that the Church of Jesus Christ is being destroyed is Christian young people being raised up in it. And when they get to the point where it's time to look for a mate, they go out into the world and they marry somebody that's lost or somebody that's worldly. And you know what, folks? That did not create a better society. That's what we begin to see down through the rest of the chapter, verse number 3. This bothered the Lord. Notice what the Lord said. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. It's because of this sin, the one listed in verse 1 and 2, God, what before that, men was living to be 800, 900 years of age. All of a sudden, God restricted their lifespan to 120 years. Now, if you compare that to the age of Adam when he died, that's an 87% age reduction that God just said, well, I think this whole thing about who you marry might be important. Okay? I think, you know what, you ought to take it seriously. Think of how many young ladies raised in church. I mean, we've invested them. They should be in a position where they're ready to serve the Lord and go forward. And you know what? They end up chasing some lost guy out of the will of God. Some young man raised up in church, goes through the master's club and the youth group and Christian school. And next thing you know, he's married somebody. And next thing you know, he's not in church. And he's, you know, his children don't go to church. And what are we doing? What are we doing? Listen, be ye not unequally yoked together. And so the Bible is very specific in this idea of Christians. As preacher, you've said this a lot. I'm going to keep saying a lot because every time we got a new generation all the time. Amen. All right. Marriage isn't going to go out of style probably anytime soon. So you know what you do? Christian young people, dedicated, separated Christian young people ought to be marrying dedicated, separated Christian young people. And when we do that, we got a chance to raise a new generation for the Lord. Well, what was the results of them ignoring this? Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days also. After that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men that were of old, men of renown. Now notice what happens. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. One of the saddest verses in the Bible, verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. Wow. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And folks, there's a mirror image of what's happened before the flood and what's going to happen right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of it is just rampant wickedness. I mean, to the point where the church has become so watered down. Young people are not keeping their separate stand. They are married into the world, or they're marrying worldliness. And you know what? We don't have a strong generation of young people. By the way, every young person and young couple in here that's dedicated their life to be the exception, thank you. Thank you. We need you to be the exception. Thank you for doing that. But that's the way it is, but going to be before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, the level of wickedness and the takeover in our public school system, what's being introduced to preschoolers and kindergartners and first graders and second graders, I mean, folks that are just, I mean, beyond wickedness. Things that I can't even say right up here from the pulpit. I would not say it out loud what some of them are being exposed to. You go on YouTube and watch some of it. There's mothers that are showing up with books that was handed to their first graders and their second graders, showing cartoon characters, introducing homosexual lifestyles to them. And I mean graphically introducing this. Little children not even know that stuff. We're destroying the innocence of our children. I mean, there used to be a time where a dad, mom would figure out when the kids got up, you know, maybe 13, 14, 12, 13, 14, 15. I mean, it's up to the parents. By the way, it was up to the parents. Can I say it again? It was up to the parents. And now it's time to sit down and talk to the kids about the birds and the bees, introduce this thing. And you know what? That what the powers that be in our public school system says, Mom and Dad, get out of the way. We don't need you to be involved in that area. We're going to do it. By the way, we're not going to just, you know, we're going to introduce them not just to the birds and the bees. We're going to introduce them to the bees and the bees and the birds and the birds. And anything else that we want to try to convince them is normal. Well, folks, listen to me. Listen, it's just not people that are born again Christian, and I mean faithful in church, that are fed up with this. There are more and more people pulling their children out of the public school system. And I'm talking about people that don't even attend church regularly, but just have common sense. And say, you are not going to indoctrinate my children and turn them into perverts. And folks, we're hiring perverts to teach the kids. I mean, come on. I can't imagine sending my kid to school somewhere where their teacher is a woman talking about her wife all the time. I mean, what is wrong with parents? You know, you're not woke. You're asleep. You're in a coma, spiritual coma. But it's like, well, we just got to go. You know, we just can't say anything. Yeah, we can say stuff. Did you notice I am? We need to say stuff. And it shouldn't just be from the pulpit. Man, parents, I don't understand them just surrendering their kids to this stuff. Just turning them over. And, you know, man, I used to say, when Dad first started the Christian school in the 70s, say, folks, we used to get up and say, you know what, hey, you know, if you keep leaving your kids in the public school, one of these days when they graduate, they may not be in church and they may not be really believe in God and they may not live a Christian life. Now I got to stand up and say, if you leave them in the public school, there's a good chance they're going to be a sodomite or worse. Because that's being introduced. Listen, folks, they can't reproduce. They got to recruit. And we said that for all these years. And everybody knew it, but now for some reason, we've allowed them to integrate into our public school system where they are recruiting our children at the most tender, innocent ages. I mean, there's movements going on in some of our states that the birth certificates, parents are no longer going to be allowed, if some of this legislation goes through, to even identify whether or not a child is male or female on their birth certificate. That should not be put on the birth certificate. That should be something the child is allowed to decide at some point in time down the road. I mean, you know, they're not allowed to use some of the teachers' pronouns, personal gender-specific pronouns in the classroom. You can't say she or he or him or her. What are we doing? Well, you know, you say, I can't even imagine this. Well, can you ever think of a time in America? No, but I can think of a time in the world when it was this bad or worse. It was in the days of Noah. And we're mirroring that very thing. Now, say, preacher, you say, you're going to give me some encouragement here. All right. Here's the thing we know, that Jesus Christ is going to come back. When it gets to that point, it says that they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Hang on, Christians. The Lord knows exactly what's happening. The Father knows the time. One of these days he's going to turn to the Son and say, go get your bride. Trumpet's going to sound. Voice of the archangel. And here comes Christ, and we're going to be out of here. And by the way, this is an important doctrine that we need to preach and we need to use to encourage people. It also, I think, provides an urgent argument for those that are unsaved to be saved without delay. I think people are more open to the gospel right now than I've noticed in years, because all of a sudden they realize some things are happening. And so it's an urgent argument to be saved without delay. Hey, there's two things that can happen at any time. Death could happen at any time, and Christ's return could happen at any time. And not a one of us has promised that we'll get home today. Preacher's been saying this for years. Well, you know why? Because it's true. You're just trying to scare people. No, we're giving them facts. Go out to any cemetery, walk around, look at the dates. You know, it's not just old people that die. And not a one of us is promised tomorrow. Know for sure that you're ready. Know for sure that you're saved. Because of death, but also because of the rapture. It can happen at any time. It provides an unparalleled comfort during the loss of a saved loved one. Folks, you know what? There's an excitement because of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You remember the confusion in that church. They were asking Paul. Paul got word they're confused. They all thought Jesus was coming back, so they've been busy trying to win everybody. And then some of the Christians are dying. What's going to happen to them? And what did God have Paul write? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here it is. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So again, the world's seeing chaos. They live in unbelief. They have no hope. But you know what? You know, preacher, you mentioned that, you know, you just passed the 1 year anniversary of your mom passing. And, you know, her birthday last Wednesday and your dad's birthday last Sunday. And does that bring us some sorrow into your life? Well, folks, listen, I take the trip like many of you do on those dates. You know, everybody has these dates where loved ones have passed. And you know what? I go out to the cemetery and I spend some time thinking about them. But folks, I don't sorrow as others which have no hope. You know, I have clear testimony from my mom and my dad that they were born again believers. I don't know how many times I've listened to my mom and dad when they got to the older years, towards the end of the journey, they longed to go home. They were ready to go home. They wanted to go home. You know, I wouldn't wish them back. I said this last Wednesday night. I would not wish my parents back here. I would wish to go see them one day, but I wouldn't wish them back in this mess. And that provides a comfort. You know, the doctrine of the rapture provides unequal motivation to live a sanctified life. You know, folks, one of the things that helps us to stay right, live right, and do right is before you do something that you're tempted to do, go somewhere that you shouldn't go. Be somewhere you shouldn't be. Maybe you ought to think, is that the place I'd want to be when Jesus comes? Is that where I would want to be? Is that what I would want the Lord to find me doing? And so I think that there's also this thing with the rapture, the doctrine of the rapture that just helps us to live right. 1 John 2:28, now little children abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And he said right there in the Bible, it says, hey, listen, you know what? Let's live in such a way so that at his coming, we won't be ashamed. Then this doctrine of the rapture, you know, not only helps me as a soul winner because it gives me an argument to urge people to salvation, helps me as a preacher to say, get saved today, and gives us comfort during the loss of our saved young loved ones. And then it also gives us a motivation to live a sanctified life, but it also provides an unyielding reason to fervently witness for Christ. And folks, one of the things that I think will motivate you as a Christian is this idea of the rapture. And you know what? We need to be winning people to Christ. Man alive, thank you. Thank you for being a church that cares about lost souls. I went out this morning and I went back. I always do a run through and I checked certain things every Sunday morning. I tend to get here about usually somewhere around 7 till 7 o'clock. And there's just a checklist I go through, and then I go to my office and I get to do some things there. But one of the things that I do when I'm in the foyer, turn on lights and turn on, you know, setting the heat or the air, depending on what kind of year weather forecast is. And then I go over there and I look at the track rack. And I went over there this morning. There was two different places in the track rack, completely empty, gone. And then I always do this. If you ever see preacher punching the tracks with my finger, I'm trying to decide how deep everything is. They need more tracks. And I I filled it up last Sunday morning. I know I just put another 100, 120 tracks in this Sunday morning. I promise you, by next Sunday, it'll need at least that much. A lot of times on Wednesday, I fill it back up. You know, that tells me that people in this church are getting it. You say, preacher, I may not have the health. I don't have the strength to go out and do the door-to-door thing like I used to. Well, you can still carry gospel tracts with you. And you know what? You can still find those opportunities just to speak up about the Lord Jesus. Hey, you know, when you're listening to people, come on, they're all talking about all the nonsense. And you could just be in the grocery line. You could be standing in line at Walmart, listen to two people fret and fuss about all the things that are going on and just say, hey, I'm with you. But you know what? Isn't it wonderful to know the Word of God? Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus as your Savior? Because all of this crazy stuff, you know what? It doesn't bother Christians the way it bothers people that are lost. By the way, let me give you something to read. This will tell you how to go to heaven when you, if you don't know for sure, this will tell you how to go to heaven when you die. And I just think, folks, listen, I believe that the fields are white to harvest. And I wouldn't have even said that a couple years ago. I felt like those were descriptions of other countries, third world countries, some places our missionaries are where we're sick. But all of a sudden, I think America, there's a hunger to know. There's a curiosity. There's a willingness to listen. I'm not saying everybody that's listening is getting saved, but people are taking things more serious than they have in a long time. And so, boy, get ready. I would ask you to do something if you've never done this. I think one of the things that I do to kind of keep me fervent when it comes to this idea of witnessing, you know, the book of Revelation is a powerful book. Amen. If you've never read it in one sitting, you ought to sit down and read it in one sitting. One of the things I love to do is listen to the Bible. Used to listen to it back in the old days. I used to listen to it on cassette on my Walkman. Okay. Then it went to CD. And now, folks, you know what? Everybody can download free of charge a King James Version of the Bible app on your phone, and you can push that button to listen to it anytime you want. If you've never listened to the book of Revelation read, chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end, all the way through in one sitting, you ought to do it sometime. And maybe you're going to go on a trip. You're going to be on the road for a while. Maybe you just sit down and just say, I'm just going to do this. But there is something unbelievable that will happen in your heart just by listening to that entire book read out loud. By the way, faith cometh by hearing. It's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, obviously it's good to read it. Sometimes it's good to hear somebody read it. And something about listening to all of that from the introduction to the seven churches. First of all, the appearance, the revelation, the unveiling of the risen Lord. No longer the lamb, now the lion, and John seeing him in chapter 1, then the church age in chapter 2 and 3, the rapture beginning in chapter 4, and then everything that will happen during the tribulation period, both on earth and in heaven, kind of bounces back and forth, gives you both perspectives. Then you get all the way down to the battle of Armageddon. I'm telling you, listen that thing through in one setting. You know what it'll do? It'll make you want to grab some tracks. It'll make you stop and talk to somebody maybe you didn't talk to or wouldn't have talked to if you hadn't listened to it, because these things are real and they're happening. And I think it's now being accelerated. And folks, yes, the spirit of Antichrist in a lot of ways is kind of depressing. But you know what? Then comes that spirit of excitement, because we know what this is all about. Heavenly Father, bless our time, Lord. And thank you for this wonderful doctrine. Thank you, Lord, that in your time, I don't know the time. No one here knows the time, day of the hour. But Lord, we believe that we can see from the Word of God things that are telling us that your coming is near. And so, Lord, prepare our hearts. And Lord, help us to be busy. Help us to live clean lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to urge people to salvation. And Lord, may we experience comfort, because it's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy to go to despair. Thank you, Lord, that we know the promises of the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.